The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance. BTL, coming at you. Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm good. We totally forgot. We neglected yesterday on the show when we had Brad Hallman in studio to mention a national championship that had gone down.
What? In what?
The Bass Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Out there on Lake Hartwell. So,
yeah,
it was odd.
It was a little tough, wasn't it?
It was really tough. So, we got Randy Howell on the show today. He's driving to go hunting and then fishing. He has he's going to do some speaking this week. Just an extravaganza of fun and work for Randy Howell this week.
Hey, do me a favor. Yeah. Hand me that stack of papers out of the printer real quick.
So, he's going to be getting on the road, but he's not getting on the road until 9 Central Time, which is when we're going to talk to him, which I let you know at 8:29 Central Time.
I didn't know.
So you said, what the heck are we going to talk about for the first segment? Well, I wanted to talk about the Bass Nation because it was very interesting. It was on Lake Hartwell, and for those, the Bass Nation, formerly the Federation Nation, make your state team go to the regional, finish top in your state in the regional, go to the national championship. Top three anglers out of the 57 guys that go there, one from each state plus some international, go to the Bassmaster Classic. They get their entry fees paid for the open, and the top performing angler, the guy who wins it, goes to the Bassmaster Classic. So the guy who won it was Cody Holland. Holland, H-O-L-L-E-N, Holland.
Okay.
Oregon. This is an interesting group of the top 10. This is why I wanted to talk about this.
Okay, keep going.
Oregon. He had 13-12 on the final day, 32-12 for 3 days. Tough on Lake Hartwell there. Washington, second place. Taylor Smith. Cam Sterrett. New Hampshire, third place. Nebraska, fourth place. South Africa, fifth place.
So obviously there was no HFA or Region FA.
Just listen. Washington, sixth place. I'm guessing if there's two from Washington, that means they must have boosted their Bass Nation numbers enough to get to send two anglers. The top two go. Then you have Tennessee in seventh. That's a standard fishing. Then you have Australia in eighth. Maryland in ninth. Portugal in 10th. Montana in 11th, Tim Johnson, who's been to numerous Bass Nation. Remember, he's the guy who fished out of the 25-year-old, I think it was a Skeeter, in the Classic on Gunnersville, Mark, with the 150 on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy.
Wow.
Montana, and then California in 12th, and those were the guys who fished on the final day. So to recap, Oregon, Washington, New Hampshire, Nebraska, South Africa, Washington, Australia, Portugal, and Montana. Those are 8 of the guys in the top 12 from the Bass Nation Championship, the top amateur anglers in the Bass Nation, which I thought was pretty cool. Considering, we've got Carl that's won. We've had Dean Sylvester that got second in the Bass Open on Oneida Lake.
So what happened to some of the locals?
Some of
the favorites.
I'm going down here. You want to go to the rest of the top 20. You had Mexico in 15th, Connecticut in 16th. I guess outside of, and I understand, there's great bass fishing. Maryland has great bass fishing. You want to talk about, though, the southern hub, right? Tennessee, Georgia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas, Alabama. Those type of things. You got to go down outside of that to James Biggs in 17th from Texas, who qualified through the Oklahoma division.
Right.
And then you got to go down. There's Mississippi and Kentucky in 20th and 21st. Matthew Robertson, who is the Onum guy.
Yes.
With the trophies. And
from up north.
Yeah. Well, he's okay. So get this. He's got three hats. He's got the Onum hat, and he's got the Offum hat, and then he's got the MILF Life hat. And it, I couldn't figure out like how that fit in. It, was it a play on MLF? Was it just a play on a joke? But it stands for milfoil life. So it's milf life, like flipping that milfoil life. So that's what it stands for. Okay. So when you're flipping grass, you wear the milf life hat. And
I'm
when
sure.
you're catching them, then you wear the on them hat. And if you're not catching them, then you wear the off them hat.
I'm sure if he was walking through the mall or Walmart or Target or whatever wearing that hat, he'd probably get some looks.
Yeah.
Is that what you thought it stood for?
That's what I said. I just figured out that it stood for milfoil life.
Okay.
They just left the oil off of the end. The OIL okay. part. Right. Anyway, so
keep
I thought,
going, man.
I thought that was interesting.
It's
just
awesome.
The,
yeah, just it's a great, great point.
Plethora of non-traditional bass fishing locations that had a shot at the Bassmaster Classic and a shot at the Elite Series.
Yeah.
Good stuff on that.
Great stuff. I do want to mention on Wednesday, and that's why I had you hand me that stack of papers, because I did not write down the gentleman's name. There is a angler by the name of Hunter Kenway.
Yeah, I sent you that. I forwarded you that email, didn't I?
Well, he sent it to both of us.
Okay.
Yeah. And he is one of the gentlemen, one of the 30 guys that has been selected already to participate in the TNPFL. There, I said it right.
The new league that's starting in 2021, 125 guys. We had Al McCullough on last week. Great interview. Went yeah. really in-depth yeah. on to as to why they're starting this new league, when they're starting it, what their goals are, kind of how they're going to build it.
Yeah. So on Wednesday, we're going to try and get him on the show and have him talk a little bit about his thoughts on this new league and just get some background on him.
Now, if they've
and,
signed
and
a non-disclosure, has he cleared this with Al,
well,
hopefully?
I think the non-disclosure is about something else.
Okay.
I mean, why would he not be able to come on the show and no. talk about, hey, I'm really excited about fishing the TNFPL.
TNPFL.
What'd I say?
TNFPL.
The national
TNPFL, the National Professional
Fishing
League.
That's just like the NPFL, man. That's,
you know, my mom
flows.
Still goes, did you guys have BLT today?
I can see that.
And then whenever Gary used to be on the show, she'd call him, who filled in for you, that Juicy J guy? Yes, Gary Juicy J filled in on BLT.
Yeah, but a long, long, long time
That's
ago.
A lot of acronyms.
Before Gary Judice and I became friends, I used to think his name was G.U. Dice.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Because it's spelled that way. That's how it's spelled. So anyway, and then another thing that I'm working on, I got another email from a gentleman named Jeremy, and we have not done this, and I want to know if you know this name, Matthew. Jimmy Washam.
No.
Let's see here. He finished third in the point standings in the Costas.
In which division?
Hang on here. I think it says Central Division.
They beat me.
So this is a guy that Jeremy thought would be a good guest on the show, because this guy has worked his way up through the grassroots, all the way up through local clubs, to the BFLs, to the Costas. Now he's qualified for the MLFLW tour,
right.
circuit, whatever.
He has 35,000 in earnings, 34. He has six career top 10, so that's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah.
Six top 10s to 34, and I believe he's holding a BFL trophy there. So he's won the BFL, and yeah, he wasn't lying. He finished third this year. 56
so,
last year and 29th the year before. But yeah, a bunch of, you know, a hand, he's fished the BFLs for 5 or 6 years, the Costas for 3 years. And
yeah.
Oh,
I mean, he hasn't reached stardom yet.
No, he finished
if you
40,
reach stardom
48th
in this game.
At the Costa Championship, or 47th at the Costa yeah. Championship, just missed a check. So yeah, solid.
Very solid. So I thought that would be cool to have somebody on the show. We've never done this, that has been really in the trenches since, you know, the beginning, from the grassroots all the way up, but has not reached the pinnacle yet. Would
is
you say he's
it?
Reached
the... Is he fishing it?
What's that?
The MLF, the FLW Pro Circuit?
Yeah, that's what it said in the email.
Okay, well, let's reach out to him, and that'd be an interesting,
so
be an interesting
if,
interview.
If, Jimmy, or Jeremy, I'm sorry.
Jimmy.
No. Jeremy is the one that sent me the info.
Well, we got guys on for guys now. We have like a guy for Scott Canterbury. We've got now we've got a guy for Jimmy Washam.
Yeah. It's just a friend, man. Okay. It's a fan of the show and thought that a lot of people would really find his story interesting.
Yeah, he's the perfect grounds. Yeah, he's the perfect guy who's stepping into the FLW Pro circuit at a very interesting time to be making the move.
Yeah. So we got Hunter Kenway, who hopefully I'm saying his name right. Kenway, not Kenway. Kenway. And then we have Jimmy.
Have you cleared, Washam. Have we cleared this with Jimmy yet?
Well, I guess Jeremy might be his agent.
Does he even know he's on the radar right now, Mark?
Or I'm sure that Jeremy hopefully has spoken.
Are we booking guests before we even talk to him again?
Steve in Tennessee says, hey, I know Jimmy Washam, a local kid down here from the Memphis area, would be a great interview on the show. So that's kind of what we work, what we're working on next week. And then I announced yesterday, I'm so fired up to have him on the show. The first time he said, Mark, he said, I might be inside my deer stand, but I can just shut the door and talk away. I got a good cell signal where I'm at. But we're going to have Larry Nixon on next Wednesday. Is that right? Yes.
Tuesday or what?
Tuesday. I'm sorry. And then we're going to have, who did I say yesterday? I'm losing my mind.
The NPFL guy. The TNPFL.
No, I'm working on that for Wednesday because we didn't have anybody. Who did I have lined up for? Scott Canterbury. Jeez, for Monday. Good grief. See, folks, that's what happens when you get old.
You're not old. You just turned what? Happy late birthday, by the
57.
Way. Your birthday was what, 3 days ago?
Yeah, 57.
I literally called Mark. I said, hey, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
You called
birthday.
Me right during basketball practice.
And he goes, I'm at practice. Bye.
No, I said, I'm at practice.
I'll call you back. And you never call me back.
No, that's because, what did I say? I said, I'm in the middle of chaos right now.
How much do you think Larry Nixon has earned with FLW? Because he's fished the FLW tour.
$2 million? Am I close?
Good Lord. How many years do you think Larry Nixon has fished the FLW tour? Take a guess, because I mean, I still think of him as a split guy who spent a lot of his career with bass. Yeah. Don't
what,
you?
What is the one thing that sticks in your mind about Larry Nixon? And this is just I'm
you really
want to
know the one thing right now? So I go
because I'm gonna tell you what mine is.
So
go
I
ahead.
Did some freelance. This is kind of a funny story. I did some freelance stuff with FLW this year, and they didn't have anything that because the cup was originally on Ouachita, which they had a ton of. Coverage for it, photos and stuff, and then it moves to Hamilton, and they're approaching like 3 months out, and they're like, crap, we don't have any photos of Lake Hamilton. So they call me, and they're like, hey, can you go take some photos of Lake Hamilton? I said, yeah, I'll do a ride-along with Kurt Dove, and there are some photos that they used leading up to that cup on Hamilton.
Yeah.
Well, while we were driving around, they're like, get as many photos of anglers as you can. So I got like some photos of Jeremy Lawyer, Casey Scanlon, Kurt, some of the guys, J. Todd Tucker, and they're all cool and all that. Well, you know, Kurt's in his boat practicing. Well, Larry Nixon is offshore. And I'm like, oh, that's the general. It's from Arkansas. It's on Lake Hamilton. This would be the photo.
That is the shot.
So the Birdman, being the accommodating and media savvy angler that he is like, well, I'll just swoop down and do a slow drive-by. You can get the camera out and start taking photos. Well, all Larry Nixon notices is a fellow competitor doing a slow drive-by during pre-practice for the Forest Wood Cup, and all I've got is about 15 blurry photos of Larry Nixon just staring down Kurt Dove.
Giving Kurt the look.
The look, like, you waypointing me, you son of a gun.
Yeah.
And I couldn't send any of them in because it is just, I mean, he looks pretty angry about it. So Kurt's like, you think we should like circle back and let him know that it's like a media deal or something? I'm like, Dad, just keep rolling, man.
I wonder,
so that's only Larry Nixon story.
I wonder if he ever said anything to Kurt.
No, he didn't.
Nothing.
He probably didn't even know it was Kurt because he doesn't have a rat boat or anything. He just is thinking, hey, here comes this boat that's slow rolling. You know what? He doesn't know what I am. I've got you know, the camera. It's hard to see. It's early in the morning. He's on an offshore spot, probably some juice that he'd spend weeks graphing and pre-practice. So that's my Larry Nixon story.
Okay, we have talked about the old days back in the TNN days. Do you remember the intro for the old Bassmaster series?
Is this the, hey folks, this is Bob Cobb, the Bassmasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go into the music.
Yeah.
What was the one?
Kind of like some janky organ music, kind of almost.
Yeah, I don't know what instrument that was.
It's like a synthesized, it's synthesized something.
Some kind of organ, maybe. I don't know.
Synthesized electric piano.
Something. Anyway, who is that?
Can you get that pulled up?
I'll work on it. I'll see if I can.
The Bassmasters.
Yeah. Who is it?
Gold rimmed glasses. Bob Cobb appears in the corner.
Yeah, fighting that, I don't know, 8-pounder.
Oh,
whatever.
Like this?
No. And he's like this, and then he turns to the camera, and the fish jumps out of the water in the intro. That's Larry Nixon.
Is it?
It is.
I thought it was Ken Cook.
No. It was Larry Nixon. I'll see if I can find it.
No, I know, because a fish comes from under the trolling motor.
Yeah.
He's holding the pistol grip with both hands.
Yes, and he looks at the
camera. He's got little white shorts on. And he.
That's Larry Nixon.
Right at the crescendo of the synthesized piano music.
Yeah, and we would rush home. I've told this before. We would rush home from the Sunday jackpots that we would have wherever they were just so we could get to the TV in time to watch that TNN outdoor block and that whole Larry Nixon thing. And the first time I met him in person, I swear, Matt, I have not met a nicer person in my life. You know how sometimes that when you meet people and you're somewhat intimidated a little bit, mm-hmm. and you think, oh, great, how is this going to go? Is this going to be a disaster? Am I going to ask a stupid question? Am I going to be an idiot? Dude, he was probably the nicest guy that I ever met that I had no idea what was going to happen. And he was one of the guys. He was one of the superstars. And for that matter, still is. From those original people that made this game what it is.
I've got another Larry Nixon story I didn't even read. I'm going to bring it in tomorrow. My first bait caster, my very first bait caster, 1998 Bassmaster Classic Bass Tournament Series, Abu Garcia, Larry Nixon rod and big round reel with the jumping bass on the side of the Abu Garcia. And if you bought it and registered it and won a tournament using that rod and reel, you'd get like $100 from Abu Garcia. Now, I mean, I was fishing the Assumption Bass Club, and my dad didn't bother to tell me that was not a registered tournament. But my first bait caster was a Larry Nixon Abu Garcia back in 1998 that I purchased at the Bassmaster Classic Expo.
Really?
I still have it, the rod and the reel. Now, it's missing the tip, but it's a 6-footer, heavy action, big, clunky, round silver reel. But it was Larry Nixon.
All right, I'm trying to find it here. I don't know if I can find it. I'll keep working on it. Now, let me ask you this, Matthew. How many people do you think still use a pistol grip? Have you ever used one? Have you tried to use one?
Yeah, I had a Browning Vectra pistol grip back in the day. I have never used one in a tournament other than that. I'm trying to think, have you ever seen one on tour? Have you ever taken a photo of someone using it?
Is there anybody out there watching?
I'm talking about
using
on tour.
A pistol grip right now.
Is there anywhere where someone's been skipping a dock?
David Fritz, throwing, maybe?
No. No, because Fritz uses the hand. No, Fritz uses the rod on the inner leg to feel it, but I don't think it's a pistol grip. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever been like, oh, that's a pistol grip on someone's front deck.
Huh. I'm still looking.
For the music?
For the intro. I'm trying to find the
intro.
You should
just be able to.
Dude,
just go to Lynn Dollar.
That's where I'm at. I'm looking for it. But a lot of these.
It should say like 1989 Bugs Island Invitational Part 1 of 3.
I'm working on it, man.
Should be a photo of Harold Allen in a jumpsuit with stars down the side and Skeeter cursive writing across the chest and a tall hat.
I'm working on it. Some of these, he's left out the intro. So I've clicked on like 3 or 4 of them, and the intro is not there. Oh, there's a pistol grip.
It's a pistol grip that the guy's using in the intro.
Yes.
Because he's holding
it. But no, I'm looking at some video right now from 1988 from the Bassmaster at Truman Lake. And Jimmy Houston's using a pistol grip.
What do you think is something now that everybody uses? This is a good question, Mark. What is something now that everyone uses as just standard operating procedure?
There was. Hang on.
That 20 years from now, we'll look back and say, yeah, I remember everybody used this, like a pistol grip rod or a round reel.
Man.
Is there anything out there now that you think that you're seeing the beginning of maybe going away from that is now standard on everyone's front deck? Because think about the stuff. I mean, obviously the advancements in trolling motors, electronics, that type of stuff. But I'm talking about, I mean, you go to Larry Nixon or Harold Allen back in the day and be like, yeah, you won't be able to find that handle on a front deck in 20 years. They'd look at you and be like, whatever. This is all there is, right?
Yeah. Man. Anybody out there have any suggestions? And so I'm trying to multitask here.
We'll give you 20 seconds to figure this out. Did you get it queued up?
I think I have it queued up here. Hang on. Let's see here.
There it is.
Yeah, here. Now watch. Right there.
That's Larry?
That's Larry Nixon.
No way. No, it's not.
I think it's Larry
Nixon. Rewind it. Can you rewind it?
Proven reservoir. And the kickoff of the 1989 Bassmaster.
Hang on. That's Larry Nixon.
You think that's Larry Nixon?
I think that's Larry Nixon.
Rewind it again. Let's watch it full again one more time.
We will ask him next week, but I think that's...
That's a giant.
I know.
Who's that? Was that... You think that's Larry Nixon?
I do. Look at those techniques, though.
Missouri's Truman Reservoir and the kickoff of the 1989 Bassmaster Tournament Trail.
Look at Ray Scott now, with the ascot.
Right here when the nation's top bass anglers begin a sixth tournament qualifying season.
That's an ascot, isn't it?
Yeah. So, hey, if anybody that's out there watching can help us out, but I believe... And I've always believed that was Larry Nixon.
I mean, that's kind of akin to the logo, the Jerry West logo, isn't it? That's a signature jump in.
Yeah, people are saying, yep, that's Nixon.
All right.
I'm still trying to... Did we figure out what music that is?
No.
What kind of instrument that is? Hang on, I'm not going to cue up the video again. I'm just going to cue
play
up the
music.
Audio.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's an electric piano.
We're not talking about that.
That might be an organ.
All right, here we go. Is it strings?
I thought it was a horn. A saxophone. That's a saxophone.
Yeah, some kind of horn.
That's a synthesized saxophone.
1989.
All right, we can probably call Randy Howell now, Mark.
You think so?
Yeah. He's on the road headed to go... hunt and fish and speak.
Yep, everybody's saying, yep, that's Larry. I am glad to know that all these years thinking that was Larry Nixon, that I was right. And I was like, oh, because we even said it. Oh, man, we got to get home.
I want to ask him about
Larry.
That fish because, I mean, you have to be dialed in to have a 7-pounder jumping around the trolling motor and looking at the camera and cheesing it up. I mean, that's a man of confidence.
How cool is that?
That's a man of confidence right there. Like, I got him. He could jump. You know, you ever go through those strings in derby fishing where, like, as soon as you hook it, you're like, please be small because I do not want to have to fight a big fish here because I know I'll lose it. And sure enough, you lose it if it's a big one. Then you go through other strings, you hook it, it's a big one, you look at your co-angler, and you're like, I got him. He's out there doing tail walks.
I'm gonna find a pistol grip for you. I just want you to go fish.
I've got one. I've got a Browning Vectra. I've been trying to sell it for a decade, and no one's bought it. I've put it up on the message board. I've talked about what a great catfish rod it is.
Bring that thing in tomorrow.
And I'll bring Larry Nixon's tournament series from 1998, Rod.
There you have it. All right, coming back with Randy Howell. Everybody, stay tuned.
You are serious about catching fish, that HDS is a dead giveaway. You've got the best fish-finding sonar money can buy. Time to build the ultimate fish-finding system with LiveSight Sonar. See what your lure is doing in real time. Watch fish strike as it happens. See for yourself. Take the LiveSight Sonar 30-Day Challenge. If LiveSight Sonar doesn't help you find and catch more fish, send it back, no questions asked.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit gamigatsu.com.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Guys, Gerald Swindle, Sunline Pro Staff. If you're a flipper, a slack line hook setter, you're really putting a lot of impact into your hook set, look for the shooter. It comes off the smooth, really smooth. Like when you're flipping, it is smooth. If you're gonna be drop shotting and cranking, sniper's the deal, man. It seems like it's a little bit less likely, like on a sharp hook set, it doesn't seem like it likes it as much, but for coming off the spool on spinning rod, leaders, cranking, like if I'm gonna throw a big plug at Gunnersville, I've still got strong tensile strength that's not gonna give out on me, but yet the line's thin enough it'll get down. So to me, shooter takes a hook set, snipers for everything else. So if you're gonna slack line them, go shooter.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I got my power pole down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pole down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water, day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
Hey guys, Cliff Perch here with AFCO. I've got the new Camo Hooded Reaper. It's gonna be a great thing both for fishing and hunting this fall. I can tell you a couple of the features about it. Got the face mask like all the Reapers do, vented in front. It's got the fleece on the inside, so it's really comfortable. It's super warm. When you come down to the pocket, it's got this little snap system called Block Tapey, and it's silent. You know, it doesn't make that sound that other snaps and other systems that hook it together make. Great for hunting, and it's gonna keep that stuff in your pocket.
All right, we are back on a Tuesday. You like that tune, Matthew?
Very reminiscent of the early 1990s, 80s Bassmasters. A synthesized saxophone.
One of the things that I'm going to be doing toward the latter part of this year is getting things ready. We're going to launch a brand new look, not in the studio, brand new look on the website. We're going to have some new music. Just kind of change things up, as I always do each year.
I just have a vision of like a young Randy Howell like riding his bicycle down a dirt road so he could get home to watch that stuff. But then again, he was on the tour when he was like 19.
Yeah, been doing it a long time. And did you get a chance to look at any of his stats from this year?
No, I did.
He had an okay year. Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was like 47,000 in earnings.
Yeah.
On the BPT, got off to a great start. Mm-hmm. The first couple of events, and then he sandwiched in between a couple of not very stellar performances, and we'll get into that. But we always have Randy on this year, so he can promote his big giveaway.
This is the ninth year for
a long time,
the King's Home. He gives away the Triton. That is he's. I guess he's kind of known for that, isn't he?
Yeah.
The fast Triton with the blue.
Look at this picture real quick. Here, I'm going to throw up this picture. He said a different look of the boat that we're giving away.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
You can turn that thing on a dime, apparently.
I guess so.
Very cool. But yeah, so he sent me the all the information. We won't read through it now, but can you get this up on the news and notes section?
Yeah.
And it's going to be on November 23rd, $100 tax deductible donation, and then you get a ticket for each donation, and you get a chance to win the ride.
Nice.
So, and then we're also going to talk a little high school fishing. He's going to be fishing for some bull redfish. He's hunting in like 4 hours, and then he's doing two speaking at a couple different churches. So,
yeah,
it's a busy.
You think he has a pistol grip?
A pistol grip rod. I'm going to venture to say no.
Let's bring him in. Hang on a second here. Randy, you there, man?
I'm there, man. I don't know if I could talk yet or not, but I need to.
Well, were you yelling into the car speaker?
I got you on my handset here, but I broke into the fishing world with the old lightning rod, the old Hank Parker Berkeley pistol grip lightning rod. That's what I started with.
Nice.
So you started with a pistol grip?
I did, because my dad used those, and that's all my dad had, and I didn't have my own rod, so I always used his, kind of like my boys are now. They're a lot more fortunate than I was, because I had to use the pistol grip. They get all the nice Daiwa Tatula Elite rods to start out with the long handles, so they're a lot better off.
What year was your very first year then? On tour full time. Did you have all pistol grips your first year? Or were you already by then the long butt?
I think I started. No, I had just gotten into Quantum a little bit. I was using a little bit of the Quantum cork handle, you know, longer handle rods. And then, you know, helped me cast a lot further and do a lot better. So that was 92. I was 18. In 92, and I fished invitationals, and I qualified for the top 150 back then and started that full-time in 93.
When was the last tournament that you made a cast with a pistol grip?
probably in my high school year, fishing the Bassmaster Invitational at Bugs Island at Kerr Lake. I lived there. My dad gave me an entry fee to fish that one for my birthday. I was 17, and I finished 26th. I can still remember it. I got a check. I drawn out with Jay Ellis and Cliff, what was that guy's name?
Cliff Kraft?
Kraft, yeah, Cliff Kraft.
Wow,
yeah.
I pulled that one out of nowhere.
That's Rick Klund's brother-in-law.
Yeah, you did, man. You were like, you weren't even born yet, were you?
I was born in 84.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you were born.
Yeah,
I'm
a lot older than people think. It's just my lack of maturity and decision making that put me in that mid-20s class for most people still.
All right, Randy, we definitely want to talk about what you have going on with your giveaway. But since we have you on, I just want you to talk a little bit about your season. Matt and I talked. It was okay. It wasn't great. You were the first guy out of the Red Crest. Your earnings were right around 47,000 this year. You got off to a great start, but then things kind of spiraled down, and then you picked it up during those last two stages. What are your thoughts on your performance this year?
Well, I really enjoyed the first year. You know, this whole new format with Bass Pro Tour, I really got re-energized. It gave me a whole new excitement and passion for fishing because I was kind of burnt out a little bit from doing it for so long, and so this was great. And so to get that first tournament out and start good, and you know, I led the first day ever of the first BPT event. That was cool. So I felt good about everything. And then I go, you know, I'm doing pretty decent getting checks, and then I go to North Carolina where I grew up. Right there where I fished team tournaments at, you know, when I was a teenager. I hadn't been back there in like 24 years, but still it was a lake, Jordan and Falls, that I expected to do well on. And I got out there and bombed. I didn't even hardly catch anything. And I still never did figure out why I didn't catch anything. That's made it even worse. So that kind of got me in the hole for just a little bit. And I climbed back up, and then I come to Smith Lake, Alabama, an hour from my house here now, and I practiced good practice, and then everything changed, and I caught tons of fish, but I just couldn't catch big enough ones and had another bad one there. So, you know, I thought I was going to rebound good enough, and I just never did. I ended up being that first guy out, you know, 31st out of those great 80 anglers. You know, is, you know, like you say, it's not bad, but it's not good either, because if you don't make the Red Crest, just like when we used to fish for the Classic, if you don't make the Classic, that's kind of our goal, our setting. And we, you know, and we don't, and it's not a top 40 now to make it, it's a top 30, so that's a little bit harder. And I just got to do better overall next year, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really excited about the places we're going, the time of year we're going there, and all that. It's going to be good.
Randy, you've been doing this a long time, since you were a teenager, young kid. What did you take away from this season that you can actually apply and make things better going into next year?
Well, it really, what I found is just how much better of an angler the Major League Fishing format causes you to be. It digs deep inside of you to make you be better. You got to be faster, you got to be more efficient, and you got to keep producing bites. And that's something that took me a little bit of time to get adjusted to throughout the year, I think, because, you know, I'm used to trying to relax a little bit and get in an area, and I'm an area guy. I like to get in a good area and work it good, and it's hard to do that anymore. You really got to stay on the hustle, on the move. That's why you saw a lot of a lot of younger guys that are out there now that really did well this year, because that format, it fits the younger generation of fast and efficient. And so that's what I've got to get better at. And I had some good ones, but I always would have a place where I would get comfortable or not, or I'd feel like I was on the right track, and then I would slack off just a little. I didn't feel like I was, but looking back, I would just slow down. Just like the last event up in Wisconsin, I was in the Red Crest all the way to the last hour. In the last hour, the water got muddied up in the area. I was skipping docks, and I quit getting bit, and I just kept trying to make it happen and slow down. I should have totally got away and done something else, and right there in the last hour, Randall Tharp and MDJ passed me, and both of those were the two main guys, the only two that could knock me out of Red Crest, and that was those two guys, and they did it. So you can't slack, you can't have any dead time anywhere in that format, and that's what I got to get better at.
Randy, I've been meaning to ask you this for years, and this nostalgia trip that we've been on with Larry Nixon and Pistol Grips has brought this up, and I've wanted to ask you about the methylate weightless trick worm, or the floating trick worm. Now, back when I covered the Elite Series and went to all the tournaments, I remember a couple times, I think maybe once on Smith Mountain, once somewhere in Alabama, where you put that trick worm to use, and it's going to be coming up again in the fall or spring once everything kind of thaws out again. But is that still in your arsenal, or am I just totally missing the boat on that? That's something you throw quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, man, you nailed it. I'll tell you, that's what I, you know, made my, you know, living on as a teenager there in North Carolina on Bugs Island and Gaston and those team tournaments. That whole floating worm, you know, technique was such an awesome technique in North Carolina and Southern Virginia. And I mean, I've got a whole big duffel bag of them that are 20 plus years old, I bet, that I still carry in my camper in hopes that one day somewhere they're going to bite them again. But back when the Cinco came out, it really seemed like it just changed. It quit everywhere I used to fish it at. You know, when we had co-anglers, somebody would always throw a Cinco behind me and they'd catch more than me, and then it kind of killed my confidence for it, and I kind of quit throwing it. And so now I do the same type fishing, but I do it with a Cinco, and I catch a lot of fish everywhere we go. And really over half the fish that I caught on the season this year came probably on a wacky Cinco a lot. And so, but that technique, man, it was so good. Pink worm, methylate, yellow, black, yellow. I mean, I've got all the colors, and man, they were really good.
And they're 20 years old?
Yeah, I've got some that are a little newer, but I've probably got some that are at least 20 years old.
If you don't buy it, I mean, what are they?
Oh, they're the old Bass Brothers Tackle and Hog Collar, H-A-W-G, Hog Collar, floating worms. Hog Collar made them for a while, and they quit. And then Bass Brothers Tackle, which is a local team tournament trail in North Carolina. It used to be called the Tar Heel Team Tournament Trail. That me and Fritz and Debbie Wright, Gerald Beck, Jeff Coble, everybody fished that trail.
Wow. Well,
those guys bought them. They bought the mold, and then Danny Joe Humphrey had that mold, and Danny Joe, that same Danny Joe Humphrey's floating worm. It's that same six-inch flat-tailed floating worm. And, man, it's a killer. I caught a lot of fish on it. And back in the day with monofilament line and a 6'6 spinning rod, no 10-pound stretchy clear blue string, skipping up in the bushes at Bugs Island, I'd catch 5 or 6 pounders. I'd never break one off ever.
Wow.
If you tried to do that now, you would never do that.
Wow, that's a great story. All right, several people on the instant feedback want you to talk a little bit about Gunnersville. How's Gunnersville in the fall / moving into winter?
Man, I tell you, I just boat captained my son Oakley Saturday in the first Bass Nation High School tournament. Our Gunnersville fishing team competed in that. It was 280 boats in it, and I didn't get to practice but about 3 hours on Friday for me. We went out, and if you didn't throw the Alabama rig, you didn't catch nothing. I mean, unbelievable how dead the lake is. I think it's had so much tournament pressure. You know, it started 8 weeks ago with the Snagproof and the Spro tournament, and then the Big Bass Tour, and one after another, Red Mountain, BFL Regional. So I think it got hammered so bad that the bait fish are up everywhere, just schooled up everywhere around grass and points and on the islands, but you can't catch them on nothing. And then my boys threw the, you know, Alabama rig, and they caught 13.5 pounds and finished fifth, had a pretty good tournament. And but it only took 18 to win the junior and 17 to win the high school. And but the fish are just schooled up, not eating real easily at all, and they're not real, a lot of big fish aren't showing up. There's a lot of 2 to 3.5 pound fish in the lake right now. And I don't really know what's going on. There's not been many bags over 20 weighed in the last 2 months. So
wow.
I don't know what the deal is. And the water's super low, and it's been real clear. And it just, you know, I feel like pressure's got a lot to do with it. But, man, that umbrella rig is crazy. I went out and had some of the Japanese guys from Daiwa over here for the tournament. I emceed the weigh-in. So I weighed in every kid and asked everybody there that had a bag at all. And nobody, every single body I interviewed said Alabama rigs that caught anything. So if you come to Gunnersville, you better bring the bladed rig with some little small swim baits. And that's going to be probably the dominator all the way through the rest of the fall and winter until springtime, and they start biting the crawfish crankbaits.
You know what's crazy? We're approaching the 10-year anniversary of Paul Elias really busting that thing out on the bridges at Gunnersville in that FLW series event. I think that was in 2011. And it's hard to believe all those years have passed, and you've kind of seen it come up and go down, and now you have a kind of a resurgence in it. I've noticed the last couple years to where it seemed to me, and maybe you can comment, was it like on Gunnersville where it was like the only thing to throw for 4 or 5 years, and then it's like, they're kind of getting wise to this thing. So then people went back to the jerkbait and the jig and the crankbait and didn't throw it as much. And now the last couple years, it's like there's a whole new crop that haven't seen it. And now it's kind of making a resurgence, similar to what the chatterbait did in the 2000s.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't heard much about it at all until this year. And now it's just dominating. And the guys that are really good on the lake, that catch them all the time with single swim baits and the big swim baits. You know, Kevin McMahon at Duckett Marine, he's a really good offshore guy this time of year. And he said the other day he couldn't catch them on a big swim bait at all anymore. He didn't know what was going on. He had to throw that rig. And majority of guys don't like to throw it. And most of the bigger trails around there, like ABT and all those, they don't allow it, just like our pro tours. But when you can throw it, tell you, it's fun. I fished with my boys a little bit and caught some on it in practice, and then Sunday afternoon with the guys at Daiwa, I caught like 10 or 12 on it in the last 2 hours of the afternoon, and they hit that thing so hard. It's so much fun to catch them on. It's just aggravating to throw it.
You throw that on a 6.6 pistol grip, right, Randy?
Yeah, 6.6 pistol grip, modified, extra heavy.
Yep, okay, just making sure.
Wow. All right. Yeah. A couple of questions from the instant feedback, and then we'll get into your giveaway. What'd you say, Matt? The ninth year? Is that right?
This is the ninth year.
Wow.
Correct,
right,
Randy?
Yeah, correct.
It's
all
been
right
around as long as the Alabama rig
That's
has.
That's kind of funny.
Randy's
all
been
right
giving his boat away as long as the Alabama rig's been around.
Yeah. All right. Frank in Michigan, yeah, wants to know, do you think guys that have been kind of classified or considered specialists, like a Greg Hackney or a Tommy Biffle and others, are going to struggle in the BPT format? Or do you really have to become a great finesse angler to be successful? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like, the specialty guys are definitely having to play catch up a little bit, but majority of those guys, though, even though they've been labeled as a specialty angler, they're still all very versatile. That's the thing, you don't see a lot or hear that a lot, but they are. But so last year I think we had an unusual year because we had to fish spotted bass lakes three or four times out of the year, so we had so many spotted bass places that caused it to be a finesse year. But I feel like with the new scheduling that was purpose driven by the anglers to make sure we're in the good time of the year at the bigger fish lakes, I feel like that specialty big fish fisherman type guys are still going to shine and do well. And I think everybody's going to have to catch more and bigger fish on this next season. So you just watch for the consistency versatility of guys, to start shining that people think they're just, one-dimensional. But I think a lot of those guys are going to do good all the way around.
All right, Matt in Alabama wants to know, do you think the merger between MLF and FLW is going to help the collegiate anglers?
Man, absolutely. I know Boyd pretty well, just like you guys do, and he's been on the show there on BTL a good bit, and he's probably told some of that stuff that's going on, but they're drawing up a really cool plan. It's already on paper, and it's going to change the whole way the high school and college, is being fished right now. It's going to just make it even better. It's going to give more opportunities. It's going to not be so fragmented. If everybody will get on board, it's going to be money there to win and scholarships, and it's going to be a pathway, a very clear pathway for the high school anglers to get to the college scholarships and the college anglers to move up to the BFLs and the Costa, the FLW series. And I think it's going to be an awesome thing. If guys will just stay open-minded and give Major League Fishing and FLW a chance, and everybody will just quit, slamming them and taking all the cheap shots because they don't really know anything about it. If they'll just wait, I promise it's going to come out. It's going to turn out good. It's going to work out good for everybody, because I know we've got some great leadership and great, ideas, and everybody's working together to make something that's never been made before. And I think it's going to help the lower level guys that have a pathway to move up.
All right, Steve in Tennessee, last question from the instant feedback, wants to know, would you like to see the A-rig on the BPT?
Hey, yeah, that's good too. We had it. You could use it on the regular Major League fishing events and Major League Cup events. And then when, we got the 80-man field out there and we vote on everything, of course, it was a bigger majority that was against it. And that's why they took it totally out of Major League fishing altogether. But I honestly like having it. I mean, I think it's another tool. It doesn't catch them everywhere you go. Just like Matt said earlier, it fizzled out everywhere for a long time. And it's just now it's just another tool in the tackle box. But it makes, if we can use it, it would show people that we can catch fish better when they're not biting, because it's a tool that works better when they're not biting somewhere and when they're suspended. It's the best suspended fish rig there is. I wish we could use it again, but we never will. You can bet on that.
It would be ugly this year. Lake Eufaula, February 7th, yes. Lake Fork, yeah. March 13th, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
North Carolina, right. Those four lakes that you fish that don't have a fish under 5 pounds in them, April 3rd through 8th. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. I've seen some of the stuff that happens up in New York and on Champlain with that thing with the smallies. You remember some of the opens? I think Perosnik might have won one or done really well at what up there on Oneida on smallmouth. Those things come unglued for an A rig. So,
that's the first time I've ever caught triples. I caught in that same tournament, Perosnik. You're talking about it, Oneida. It's only open that I never didn't make the top 10 in. Every time I'd been there, I finished 25th that year because they were biting that A rig so good and everybody was throwing. And it took, you know, a 3 pound average went all the way down to like 35th place, I think. And it was real, which is real unusual. But I caught triples in the tournament multiple times, 3 pounders, like three pounders at one time on that thing. It was awesome.
All right, one more question from the instant feedback. Our longtime viewer and listener, Bassilla, wants to know, do you think eventually you might get to see a collegiate angler in the Red Crest?
No doubt. Yeah, I think it could definitely happen. And I don't know how they've got it all planned out yet, because I haven't been in on the details of the meeting. But I've just heard a lot of good information, and some of the sponsors that have been involved with it are really excited about what they see being, you know, the model that's being built right now for it. So I wouldn't doubt if we'd see that a few years down the road.
All right, let's. Oh. You got one more?
No. Go, I just want to mention. No, Steve in Tennessee was. What was the name that you guys used to call the A rig?
The chandelier?
No, the rigatoni.
The A rigatoni.
Yeah.
Remember, we went through like 6 months where it was so prevalent that you refused to say the name of it.
Yeah.
Just because it was the yeah. only thing. Like, it was bigger than the merger.
Yeah.
The A-Rig when it came out.
Yeah,
it
was, the rigatoni.
It was bigger than Mike Long. It was bigger than anything that has ever
it
happened.
It was massive. All right, Brian in California wants to know, are you going to be at the Classic?
Yes, I will be at the Classic. I'll be there working for Daiwa and Livingston, Triton Mercury and Bass Pro, all the sponsors that I've got that are still sponsoring Bassmaster also. Yes, I'll be there, and it'll be I'll imagine I'll get a lot of good questions while I'm working that show.
That's gotta suck not to be fishing in that.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta be honest with us here. You've had a day or two in the Classic on Guttersville before. It would be nice to have a repeat chance at it. I mean, it's gonna suck to be working the show.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, it'll definitely be, you know, the good thing I've got such good memories from that 5 years ago, you know, and that's been 5 years now. But that was such a cool event, the way it all played out from come from behind deal and all that. So it's still, the story still lives on everywhere as if it just happened. I mean, everywhere I go, people still ask about it, talk about it. So I'm sure it'll be a bittersweet, you know, deal. I'd love to be in it just because it's there again and all that. And you know, when they did the press conference there in Birmingham to announce the Classic, they didn't seem to remember anything about me winning that Classic, so they never mentioned anything about it. But a lot of people still talk about it. So when I'm there working the booth, I'm sure we'll get a lot of good questions, and probably still get a lot of people say, "Why aren't you fishing this deal? Why aren't you fishing this deal?" And everybody always asks you that all the time. But you can't fish everything everywhere, and I'm where I feel like I need to be for the future of the sport all the way around. And I feel like, you know, we've got a lot of good stuff coming, and I'm hoping somebody will win the Classic and have a good time. Be some good fish caught, and the show will probably still be a good show because there's so many good, you know, bass fishing, you know, fans. The show itself is going to have a lot of good sponsor, a lot of good equipment there for people to see. So we'll see what the weigh-in looks like. Who knows?
You ready to talk about King's Home now?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Let's do it. Let me set it up. November 23rd, 2 p.m., drawing for the ninth consecutive year for a chance to win your boat. I think everyone who's listening probably knows what kind of what King's Home is, but just in a minute or two, kind of set it up, how they can get involved and how they can end up with that ride on November 23rd.
Well, it 9 years it's been going on, but what really put it on the map, we were talking about that classic in 2014. You know, we had that whole section right in the center, all the kids and ladies from had about 120 of them there watching the weigh-in, and then I had no idea I was going to win, and then when I come back and won, it really got those kids and the whole charity on ESPN, and then they come out and did a story about it, and that's what kind of solidified and told the country, the fishing community, that what I was trying to do to help raise money, it showed what it was, and it brought awareness to not just King's Home, but to overall all over the country, the need-based charities for the kids and ladies, and just put it on the map. So it was a great opportunity. So little by little, it's grown about 300-400 tickets more each year, and last year we raised $217,000 with that one boat, and so the sponsors have really all stepped up. Power Pole gives me the poles, and Lawrence gives me the stuff, and Trident Mercury give me good deals on the boat. I mean, everything comes together really good to help be able to do it, and it's helped so many people. And man, the fishing event we'll have there for the kids that day, it'll be a big live event outdoors. All the fishing teams are there helping the kids fish around the lake, and at the end of the day there, 2 o'clock, you can go on there, live stream, go right on my Facebook page, facebook.com/RandyHowellFishing, and we're going to live stream it there, and then it'll be posted immediately on kingshome.com after that. So last year, a guy in Indiana won it. We've had 4 out of 8 years. It's been won from somebody in another state. So, it doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to be there to win. And kingshome.com, get those tickets. And, man, it's a great cause and a great great boat. You come to Gunnersville, I'll take you out on the lake, show you how to use it all, and send you home happy.
You can get those tickets until 12 p.m. Central Time, Saturday, November 23rd. It is, as he mentioned, kingshome.com. There's all sorts of links and stuff that you can click there. Pretty easy to figure it out from there. And that is $100 that is tax deductible donation. Yeah. And then, hey, you get to go throw an Alabama rig with Randy Howell if you win.
Yeah, the high school fishing teams will all be there. We got about 12 of them. They've got a 15-acre lake there on the Girls Ranch campus, and that's where we have the big outdoor event, the fishing event. So it's cool having about 150 kids throughout the day come out there to fish, a lot of them for the first time. A lot of them are, majority of those kids are coming from severe abuse and all kinds of bad, terrible situations. And unfortunately, we can't ever do videos or pictures or do anything to show any of the kids, because I always wish we could, because it would make a difference, I think, when people, want to help and give and donate, if they could see what it's all about. But because of the security of the situation with the abuse and all that kind of stuff, they don't allow you to take any pictures or video of it. But just know it is making a difference, and little by little it gets better every year, and they're able to help more people each year, and it's just awesome to be a part of it.
All right, for the people that are watching live and the people that watch the video replay, I'm queuing up a photo of you in the boat.
Oh, yeah, this is that
and
one
here. I got this from your social media page, and the boat is pretty much
sideways, up,
yeah.
Vertical. It's that one where you're turning, and then you had done the motion on it, but this is just the static. Like, how did that shot come about?
Man, I'm telling you, that shot came about, like, by luck, because I was actually on the water with TH Marine guys and Christian Corley filming a commercial for the Yolo Tech pole that holds the GoPro camera on the boat. We were out there doing it. Shea Baker, Shea?
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
Was out there running. Yeah, he was sitting in Laker's boat, my son's boat, with him running GoPro, running the camera and drone over my head, and I was making turns. And when I come by making turns, Laker just had his iPhone and started snapping some pictures as I turned, and never thought anything about it. We get home that evening, and Laker's looking at pictures, and he's like, "Whoa, Dad, look at this picture on my phone I got of your boat today." And I'm like, "Holy smoke, that is cool." And so that's been it. And that, and Triton posted that picture that I posted, and it's like the most liked picture of the whole year on the Triton page, and then on my page as well. And that's why I said, if it is 6,300 likes on that picture on my Instagram page, if just half of those people buy one ticket, man, we could blow that thing out of the water. So I hope everybody that liked that picture, that's my challenge. Just buy one ticket, and it'll be, man, it'll be awesome.
You want to split one, Mark?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm running hot right now.
Yeah, we'll
you
split
look
one.
At the luck that I've had the last couple weeks.
I am all in, dude. We're going to split one.
You've turned BTO. A new leaf. You're no longer a pessimist.
No.
You're full of optimism and hope.
Yeah, we're
I think
splitting
we
one.
Split one.
Done.
Split one.
Done.
Yeah. That could be the end of your friendship right there if you split one.
No, believe me. Believe me. That
ended years ago, Randy.
Yeah. No worries there, Randy. No worries there. All right, man, last question, then we'll let you go. I'm just curious, basketball-wise, every time we get together, we talk a little hoops. What are your thoughts on the college basketball season coming up, and maybe if you have any thoughts on the NBA so far?
Man, I tell you, we love basketball season, and, you know, like always, and because I'm still a Tar Heel in my blood coming from North Carolina. My boys are both Alabama guys, but my son, Oakley, he's my basketball, you know, guy. And he's 14, and he's a hardcore Duke fan. I don't know how that happened, but I'm a Tar Heel fan. I think he just did it because he knew I didn't like Duke. But I feel like, you know, Duke's going to be hard to beat this year. And as we saw, you know, last week, Kentucky's going to be probably pretty strong too. So some of the main teams are doing good. Alabama, you know, has a shot. They've got a new coach this year, and they've got some good players and good talent. They had a preseason game. They beat Georgia Tech pretty bad in Birmingham here a few weeks ago. And Ugly went to that and said they look really good. So I'm excited. Looking forward to watching it. And NBA wise, I don't follow NBA a lot. I watch it a little bit just because he does, but I don't get into that as much as I do the college thing. Yeah. I love the college stuff.
Yeah. All right. Great stuff. Randy, always great to talk to you, man. Looking forward to see you. I'll probably, next time I see you, probably be at the Classic. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, best wishes during the holiday season coming up, man. And thank you for taking time out to come on the show.
Man, well, I really appreciate y'all having me on again, and y'all keep up the good work. Show's awesome, and I hope to be back on here. We'll send a post out to everybody, too, all you guys, so whoever wins the boat will have a picture and a little write-up about it to post. So we appreciate everybody's donations and help again, and y'all have a good one, and we'll talk at you later.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, thanks.
See you. All right, there you have it, Randy Howe. And good stuff there. Hey, Steve in Tennessee, man, I agree with you 100%. All right, I just posted it. Agree 100%. Memphis is going to be a huge, huge, huge surprise this year.
Oh, basketball?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't even worse. That's an interesting dynamic.
What's that?
Well, he won the Classic in Guttersville, and he lives in Guttersville.
Yeah.
But he's no longer with the organization that he won the Classic with, or has anything to do with that.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
you know, in a way, because think about it. It doesn't matter.
It's part
what,
of history. You talk about the
matter.
Biggest comeback coming back, the crankbait deal, the people lined along the Spring Creek Bridge there.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, if there was any way for him to be in it, you know, he probably would have tried.
Probably. All right, man. Tomorrow, like I said, we're going to try and get. Hang on. I got to get his name right. Hunter Kenway.
What is today? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to get on that.
Yeah. So I'm going to call him as soon as we get off the show.
It appears
get the replay
also,
out
though,
there.
I'm getting the shift actuator fixed on the Basscat. Which, I mean, the motor's fine. It says, everything says you're good to go. Yeah. We'll open her up. But
it's
I got to get the shift.
It's so just a recall is all it is.
I'm going to fire up your vessel that's been parked.
My
Park
vintage
next to the side. Your
the
vintage
19. No, what is it?
2007.
2007.
Can we say what it is?
Yeah, Procraft.
Procraft.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna charge that thing and go out and fish a derby out of it.
It's only got 17. No, it's probably got 19 hours on it now.
Or a tournament, or a tournament.
Yeah.
Or
it's
a jackpot.
Actually, we
however
say,
you want to say
the
it.
The guy that I fish team tournaments with, Pat Sheeler, it was his boat. He built a house in Phoenix.
15 hours on it, and it's a decade old?
Yeah, that's it. He was like, here you go, man.
So I'm going to get that thing fired up. It does. You kind of have the latest and greatest on it.
Oh, it's decked out. It's decked out. It's
so
got
we'll
the Lowrance.
See how it goes.
It's got the you know,
what
the
trolling motor
there?
Does it have?
It's got the spotlight.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to catch him.
Yeah,
it's got the HDS lives. It's got power poles.
Yeah, it's got spot two lock. Dude, I'm telling you.
You got $25,000 worth of accessories on a $12,000 haul, Jeffrey.
Not true. I've had people that have wanted to buy that boat numerous times already. And I'm like, nope. That's my retirement boat. Dude, when I'm 80 years old, I'm going out crappie fishing. That's what I'm going to be in.
Did you see Cliff Craft floating worms, pistol grip rods in the Alabama rig being topics of discussion today?
No, but that's how we roll on this show. Very, very cool show. And kind of the beauty of us being able to reminisce based upon our experience and knowledge and being able to talk about things that mean a lot to us. I mean, that TNN, and I've said it before, that TNN outdoor block was a part of my life when I was really, 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 really into it.
That for me, and also the Midwest Outdoors.
Yeah.
Was big for me. I would watch the Midwest Outdoors.
Yeah. All right, great stuff. So check us out tomorrow. 3 shows this week. We will talk to you tomorrow, Wednesday. That's it. We're out of here.